commanded. Everyone is to gather as much as they need. Take an omer for each person you have in your tent. The Israelites did as they were told. Some gathered much, some little. And when they measured it by the omer, the one who gathered much did not have too much, and the one who gathered little did not have too little. Everyone had gathered just as much as they needed. Now, today we're talking about, give us this day our daily bread. This is our fifth in a series of messages on the Lord's Prayer. And here Jesus is teaching disciples prayer. What is prayer? You know, a young person a few weeks back asked that question. What is prayer? If someone were to ask you that question, what would you say? What is prayer? And I think right here in this prayer is the answer. What is prayer? First of all, prayer is calling on God's name above all other names. You know, we are faced with difficulties. Who's the first name we call upon? And that's what prayer is. It's calling upon God's name above all other names. Our Father, who art in heaven. Prayer is seeing God's greatness above all our problems. Whatever difficulties you're facing, God is greater. Hallowed be thy name. Prayer is seeing God's mission above our missions. And so, thy kingdom come. And prayer is looking for God's plan above all our plans. Thy will be done. And today, I want us to consider this about prayer. If you look on this next section. Prayer is declaring dependence on God for all our needs. Then the opposite is also true, and I want you to think about this. Prayerlessness is declaring independence from God. Give us this day our daily bread. So when we pray, we are really crying out that we are dependent upon God. And when we don't pray, we are saying we are independent of God. Let's go to word in prayer before we continue in the message here. Father in heaven, we come before you in prayer, asking that you would teach us as your disciples what is prayer and how to pray. And Lord, we come to this section today. So many times we go on with our lives as if we're independent of you. But Lord, help us to learn that prayer is our declaring our dependence upon you. For without you, we can do nothing. We are dependent upon you, dear God. We ask you today, give us this day our daily bread. Lord, I pray that your Spirit would fill your servant. Give me the words to say. I pray that your Spirit would open our hearts, that we would receive these words. And Father, to you be all the glory and praise. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look at these verses today, what are our needs? We're going to look at several things here, but I want us to start out with our physical needs. Our bodies are hungry for bread, and that bread can be rice, it can be food, but our bodies are hungry. It seems like every day our bodies are hungry, as a reminder of that. We're also thirsty for water. Again, every day, we're thirsty. We're tired for rest, for sleep. We're weary. We're gasping for air. That air prayer could represent our health, medicine. These are some of our physical needs. And to be clothed for protection from heat and cold has come back upon us here. So our daily needs, our physical needs include this: food, water, rest, air, clothing. Friday night I asked the young people, what are you thankful for? And one of the boys up here said, I'm thankful for oxygen. And there were a lot of other things said, but, you know, just these basic needs, thanking God that we have these things in our health, in our medicine, our food and water, our rest and clothing. As we read these verses today, there is a problem. And this is a problem that we need to answer as disciples of Jesus also. Wants versus needs. I want this, I want this, I want this, or I need this, I need this. We've got to be able to distinguish between wants and needs. Now, we're going to see some illustrations of this, but I can think of one illustration maybe come up. We need transportation. Now, all across the world, that need is expressed in different ways. I need transportation. I may have to walk. I need transportation. I may need to use my bicycle. Or public transportation, or a car. Now, here in America, we think, well, it has to be a car. I need transportation. And then, what's the difference between a need and a want? I was recently a couple years ago, needed a new transportation. And I kind of wanted a truck. I thought it'd be nice to have a truck to carry big things around. But because I traveled so much as a traveling teacher, I realized the need was for a small car. And so we have to distinguish between wants and needs. Now, the Israelites, we see here, their wants. The Israelites, they craved for meat. They came to the desert, and if only we could have the pots of meat we had in Egypt. How could they think about it? Is it the food that they had in Egypt? If only we had those pots of meat that we had in Egypt. Now, one of the things living in Taiwan, I came to enjoy hot pot. And hot pot, if I could only have hot pot. There's some days I think about that. If I could only have a hot pot. And then you could only think about those pots of meat. And then later on we see in Numbers that they started to say, they begin to crave for other ones. Well, we had fish in Egypt. We had cucumbers. We had melons. We had leeks. We had onions. We had garlic. If it was only like we used to be. If we only had those things we used to have. And they were starting to think about all these wants. But they were brought to a new situation. They weren't in Egypt now. They were in the desert. A new situation are new challenges that we face. And you know, in the desert, there's no meat market. There's no fish market. There's no vegetable market. And there are not even spice markets in the desert. There's no McDonald's. There's no KFC. And you can't find these things in the desert. They're not there. It's a new situation. When I first went to Taiwan years and years ago, 1979, June of 1979, I lived there for 9 years. And it was all new. A whole new situation, learning to eat new foods. You know, at that time, there was no McDonald's. There was no McDonald's. At least not in Taiwan. Later we saw the first McDonald's come in. And so They had needs. And they called out to God. And God met their needs. God sent this manna from heaven. And literally, manna means, literally that Hebrew word means, what is it? What is it? They never seen anything like it before. What is it? It's manna. It's manna. Now there's a, and so they had to learn, the Israelites, as we read here, they had to learn to go out and gather the manna every morning, as they were instructed. 6 days a week, they gathered the manna. What is it? You know, they said the word, manna. What is it? What is it? What is it? It's something new. I heard this saying before, and I don't know if you've ever heard this or not, but I think it's maybe appropriate here. Where God leads me, I will follow. What He feeds me, I will swallow.
I'm connected.
Have you ever heard that before? As disciples of Jesus Christ, we follow Him. What He feeds us.
The other thing is, if you have an iPad 2 or older,
and I want you to think about this, because in this new situation, there's one of two ways to respond. The first way to respond is grumbling versus giving thanks.
Very slow to upgrade them.
Now, we see the grumblings. The Israelites grumbled over every crisis. Every time they were faced with a new situation, every time they had a difficulty, they began to grumble. We see that the people grumbled against Moses. Exodus 15:24. Where's the water? And they began to grumble. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. Where's the meat? Where's the commercial say, where's the meat? All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron. And we see this again. They ask, where's the water? And then these are three times recorded for us in the book of Exodus. And then Numbers, later on in their journey in the wilderness. They still could not get over their grumbling. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron. This time after the spies came back and told them how wonderful the land was, but there are giants in the land, that we need to conquer those giants. And they grumbled. Let's go back to Egypt. Let's go back.
We have to reset the network settings.
And then they grumbled again. Who is Aaron that you should grumble against him? And they grumbled against Moses and Aaron,
and
against their leaders.
There could be interference from everybody else.
And the whole Israelite community grumbled against Moses and Aaron.
Around here got Wi-Fi.
Yeah, but then
they said to him, what have you done? Have you brought us out here in the wilderness to kill us?
You don't turn off your router, do you?
Grumble, no. Grumble.
Yeah, that's why. So it's always broadcasting.
I want you to be aware that the sources of grumbling. Grumbling comes from the heart.
Okay. So
in Exodus 16, verse 8, this passage we read today,
as far as I can tell,
Moses reminded them, here. You are not grumbling against us, but against the Lord. Yeah. Romans 1 speaks to the fact that people turn their backs against God. It tells us that they neither glorified Him as God, nor gave thanks to Him. Now,
do you have anything that you're saving? Because I could restart it.
You're hungry.
I know.
I'm going to do the hard restart, not the soft restart.
I put in all the link.
When your stomach growls, you're either sick
or
you're hungry.
It'll start bloating it again.
And when our mouth starts to grumble and complain, it tells us our heart is either hungry or sick. And so they began grumbling, complaining. And I want you to see the lesson here of thanksgiving. Instead of grumbling, we need to learn to give thanks. Jesus gave thanks before feeding the 5,000. The wilderness. They were in the wilderness. They were in the desert. They were in a difficult situation. And he said, we will feed these people. They took the two small fishes and five loaves of bread. And he lifted them up and gave thanks to God. And he gave them to his disciples, who gave them to the multitudes. And then again in Matthew chapter 15, he fed the 5,000. And Matthew 15, he fed the 4,000. And again, he gave thanks to God. Now, some think this refers to the fact that we as Christians ought to give thanks before we eat. And certainly that is good. Oftentimes, friends are with us as a family, and we tell them, it's our custom to give God thanks. So we say a prayer before we eat to give God thanks. Now, if you're at work or at school or somewhere, and you want to give thanks to God, it's perfectly fine. You can bow your head and give thanks to God quietly. You don't have to stand up and put your hands out and speak out loud. Either way, you're giving thanks to God. Thanksgiving is a command in the Bible. We are told to be thankful. So many times in the book of Psalms, we find these words, give thanks to the Lord. Now, I have a choice. I can give thanks to God, or I can grumble. I wish it was like this, or complain. I can give thanks, or I can complain and grumble. Ephesians 5:20 tells us, always giving thanks to God, the Father, for everything. Always for everything, giving thanks. How often do we give thanks? And do we give thanks for everything? 1 Thessalonians 5:18 reminds us, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Whatever circumstance you may be facing, give thanks. Rather than complain, rather than grumble, give thanks. Give thanks. Now, I think about our wants and our needs. I think about our response of grumbling or giving thanks. And we have to make a choice. What will we do? Give thanks or grumble? Most of you know David Loveland. And David Loveland, one time, he and I were together in Taiwan. We were invited by some businessmen to have lunch with them. And Taiwan is very famous for all its different seafood. And so on the table was put in front of us some exotic seafood. These businessmen were treating us, and we realized that we needed to show our appreciation. But I remember looking down at that one plate across the front of us. There were these little crabs. Small crabs, and they were in rice wine. And they were still moving. And they told us that this was a delicacy. So David and I kind of looked at each other wondering how we're going to do this. And I quickly took a cup of tea. I took my chopstick. I grabbed that crab, a little crab, and I put them in my mouth, and I washed them down. and I gave thanks. Now, I could have complained, what is this? And I soon learned not to ask what some of the food is. It's better not to know what it is. And I could have complained, but this was a treat that they were treating us. And it was new. And I needed to remember where he leads me. When he leads me, what he leads me to do, I need to learn to swallow. You know, the story of the first Thanksgiving is very interesting. You see, the first Thanksgiving, which was traditionally known and celebrated in America in 1621, Native Americans met with the pilgrims for a three-day festival and feasted on deer meat, venison, shellfish, and homemade vegetables. See, these pilgrims had come and had endured many hardships that first year. And they had learned many things from these Native Americans. And they had eaten some new foods. And they celebrated the harvest together and perseverance through the harsh times and the unity among the two people groups. Right? They sat together and with the Native Americans ate of this Thanksgiving meal together. However, it wasn't until 1863, under President Abraham Lincoln, after a campaign by a writer by the name of Sarah Hale, that Thanksgiving became an annual national tradition of giving thanks. But we need to realize that Thanksgiving Day, although this is a holiday, is not just one day a year that we give thanks. You see, we're to give thanks always. We have physical needs, and we give thanks. But we also have spiritual needs. Our spirits are hungry for truth and thirsty for life. Just like our physical needs point to our spiritual needs. Your stomach is growling. Your soul is growling. And so, Jesus is our spiritual bread. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. And whoever believes in me shall never thirst, Jesus told his disciples. Jesus shows that he is the true bread. He is to the soul what bread is to the body. He nourishes and he supports the spiritual life. He is the bread of God. Bread which the Father gives, which he has made to be the food of our souls. Bread nourishes only by the powers of a living body. But Christ is himself living bread. And he nourishes by his own power. And so the doctrine of Christ, that he was crucified, that he rose again, is now as strengthening and comforting to a believer as ever it was. He is the bread which came down from heaven. It denotes the divinity of Christ's person and his authority. It also the divine origin of all that is good which flows to us through him. Lord, as we would pray evermore, give us this bread. So when you think of the bread, it's not just the physical bread, but there is a spiritual bread that our souls also need. And then, as we think about this, you sit down and you have maybe a guest over for Thanksgiving or our visitors here for Thanksgiving. And someone makes a comment about the physical food. Boy, that was good. That was delicious. That was the best I have ever eaten, or whatever. You can tell them something like this. I can tell you there's something better. There's the bread of life. So, will you satisfy the hunger of your body? You also can point to how the hunger of our soul can be satisfied through the bread of life. You see, that is what we can tell them. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. There are hungry, everywhere you look, there are hungry souls. There are hungry souls. Yes, there are hungry bodies, and we see them, and we need to help them, those who are hungry physically. But we also point to the need of their hungering spiritually. You know, Taiwan is full of temples. There are temples everywhere you look in Taiwan, on the roadside. All the cities have temples. And I've gone by many temples, the small ones, the big ones. You know, there's something I've never seen in a temple. I've never seen a person with a smile on their face. Never once. I don't know what it is, but they're all very sad. As they say their prayers, I've never once heard singing at a temple. There's no praising or giving thanks like the Bible teaches us. You see, as our hearts are, our souls are filled with the bread of life, we overflow and we give thanks, we praise, we sing. But also, we need to see that the Bible is also our spiritual bread. In Deuteronomy 8:3, he humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Jesus used this verse also in the temptation. The bread that comes from God. Job said this. In all the trials that Job faced, he said this. I have not departed from the commands of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my daily bread. So not only is Jesus the bread of life to our souls, but God's Word, the Bible, is the bread of life. I found this acronym. I thought it's pretty good. Maybe this will help us remember this. Have you had your daily bread? You know what bread stands for? B-R-E-A-D. Bible reveals every answer daily. So every day, my soul needs to find bread. I need to open up the Bible and find what's the answer for today. Sometimes I get the answer and I start the day. I begin by reading the Bible. And at the end of the day, I open my Bible and find the answer. Some things that I need for that day. So, it's good. Bible reveals every answer daily. And also I found this. I thought, this is very interesting. The Bible is meant to be bread for daily use, not cake for special occasions. This is not cake, this is bread. It's meant to be used every day. Not just for my birthday, not just when I come to church on Sunday. It's bread. It's bread. And so the Bible is meant to be bread for daily use. And so, here's the bread. Not just for our bodies, here's the bread. Also for our souls. But we have other needs also. What are our emotional needs? You see, our spirits hunger for bread. Our bodies hunger for bread. And our souls are also hungry and thirsty for love and acceptance. Ephesians 5:25-33, it tells us these that spouses should give love and acceptance to each other. However, each of you, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. In Titus 2:4, parents should also give love and acceptance to their children. When they can urge the younger women to love their husbands and children. You know, there is a hunger between husband and wife for love and acceptance. There is a hunger of children for love and acceptance. And that needs to be in our homes. We also know that God loves us. So we need to sometimes our children are coming running to us and they're running on empty. Their emotional tank is empty. They've been having their bullies at school or friends pick on them or whatever. Their emotional tank is empty. And they come to you as parents. And they want you to help, give them a hug. Let them know you love them. And through that, showing your love and acceptance of them, you're filling up their emotional tank. And as husband and wife, we face a lot of things in this world. And we need to support one another and show our love and acceptance. I try not to let a day go by without telling my wife, I love her. I love you. We show our love and acceptance, not just with words, but also with deeds. You know, there are emotional needs. God can also meet those too. We realize how much He loves us and accepts us. We are accepted in the Beloved. That we are loved of God. And we show it to one another and in our families. These are also other needs. What are some of the social needs? Our hearts are hungry and thirsty for friendship and fellowship. Hebrews chapter 10 reminds us in the last days that we're not to forsake the assembling together with other believers, but we're to encourage one another. You see, there are people hungry and thirsty for friendship and fellowship. And we find that as part of the family of God. And we can have friends in the world also. But how much greater is our friendship and fellowship within the family of God? Yes, there are social needs. And God is our friend. We find friendship and fellowship with one another as believers as we encourage one another. There are the social needs. And so our hearts are hungry for that. We also have our work needs. Our minds are hungry and thirsty for doing a good job. But in your job, remember this, 1 Corinthians 10:31, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all as unto the Lord. He is my boss. So, in my job, I'm working to do all things to His glory. Our minds are hungry and thirsty to do a good job. Sometimes, we also have financial needs. Our wallets are hungry and thirsty for money to pay the bills. Again, there's a neat difference between wants and needs. One day, the disciples came to Jesus and said, should we pay the tax? The temple tax. Should we pay the tax? Of course, Jesus told them yes. And He told them how to pay the tax. Go down to the sea and go fishing. And they caught a fish. And this is a miracle. They caught a fish, and inside that fish was the exact coin that they needed to pay their tax. You know, there are times that we need to realize that we need to call out to God. We have financial needs. And we're dependent upon God, not Visa, not MasterCard. We're dependent upon God. We ask for His help. This is brought to us recently. Just share this. I retired from the Kansas City School District, took a job in the Lee Summit School District teaching. And of course, you know, every place you go to work, they take out your taxes. Well, the right papers are not filled out. I'm not sure how that happened. But they didn't take out Kansas City. We live in Kansas City. They did not take out our Kansas City taxes. And this was not caught till this year. In the Kansas City, we got a letter from the Kansas City. You owe us some taxes. And we realized the mistake that was done. And you know, I'm thankful that God meets our financial needs. And He meets it when we cry out to Him and ask Him for His help. And He meets it even before. I thank You for Your gifts to us recently that make it possible we can pay for those taxes. God knows our needs. But in prayer, we bring our needs to Him. Whether they're physical needs or spiritual needs or social needs or work needs, financial needs, emotional needs, whatever they are, we bring them to Him. Because in prayer, we're declaring our dependence upon God. In Philippians 4:19, Paul said this, "And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of His glory in Christ Jesus." I don't know what your needs are today, but I do know this, that our God can meet all of your needs. And we can turn to God and ask Him to meet those needs. There's a song, I enjoy the words of this song. "Great is Thy faithfulness. Great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me." Now I want you to think about, how do we apply this message? Give us this day our daily bread. Let me suggest five ways we can apply that message. Number one, pray for your needs, not for your wants. And we need as disciples to know the difference. What is it I need? Is this a want or is this a need? Number two, respond with thanksgiving and not with grumbling. When we're faced with a need, we're faced with maybe a new situation, a new challenge, this is not a time to grumble. It's a time to give thanks. Because we're looking to see how God's going to meet that need. Number three, depend upon God and not upon self. And number four, let's make it very practical here. Invite others to Thanksgiving dinner. Appreciation dinner. Now you may have that in your home. Invite your friends. This Thursday, 5:30 here at the church is an opportunity to invite friends here. And not just Thanksgiving once a year, Thanksgiving dinner, but you might have your boss that you've been grumbling and complaining about, you might have your boss over for appreciation dinner. You might have the neighbor next door that you've been complaining and grumbling about over for appreciation dinner. Finding ways to give thanks. And then showing thanks, a thank you or appreciation card. I have a couple examples of these that you're welcome to come up and get. And I'll show these to you, but they're up here on the table. Just fold them in half. expressing your appreciation. Here, of course, is our invitation. We need to invite to this special Thanksgiving dinner. And we need to pray for that. That needs would be met. Not just bellies filled, but needs would be met. And then, maybe you need to write a thank you card. Now, young people, I'm going to talk to you a little bit here. You've been grumbling and complaining about your parents.
Oh, I'm bad, baby.
Keep on getting on my case. You're grumbling and complaining about your parents. I got a thank you card up here. You need to write them a thank you card and thank them for all they do to help you. And then I have another thank you card up here that we can also use. Ganen in wei you ni xin chun gan ji. Because of you, heart is grateful. Maybe that person you're complaining the most about or grumbling the most about, maybe you need to give them this card. Because of you, I'm learning more about God's grace. And so these cards are up here as a way to help us give thanks. Oh, before we do that, let's stand. Let's say this Lord's Prayer together, everyone, together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Father, we pray to you today. You know the needs of each of us. There are physical needs. There are spiritual needs. There are emotional needs. There are social needs. There are work needs. There are financial needs, all represented here. And Lord, help us to declare our dependence upon you, that we come to you in prayer for all these needs. And help us not to be prayerless. Help us not to say that we are, or declare that we are independent of you. Oh God, without you, we can do nothing. We are dependent upon you. Help us to give you the thanks. And Lord, help us to learn to be thankful. It's so easy to grumble and complain. We do that so easily. Lord, that's just the growling of the heart that shows that we are either sick or hungry in our soul and our spirit. So Lord, help us to be thankful. Help us to invite our friends and others to Thanksgiving dinner this week. But also throughout the year, we may have appreciation dinner for them. And then Lord, help us to write notes of thanks to those around us. Lord, we thank you. Pray that your Spirit would move in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.